Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, what an honor to be here with brothers and sisters to pray and to know that you have invited us to come boldly to the throne of grace with a true heart and full assurance of faith. And Lord, as we see another short prayer in the Bible this morning and penned by the Holy Spirit through the hand of Apostle Paul to the church in Thessaloniki, Lord, we just marvel at your grace. We marvel at the transforming power of the gospel, Lord. So help us to glean from this prayer this morning and teach us to pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. We have a prayer from Apostle Paul to the church in Thessaloniki, and it's really talking about faith, hope, and love. And so I thought we would begin by just singing a song about hope. My hope is built on nothing less. And so the very first part of your notes up at the top are the words. Let's sing along here with Maranatha music. Like that hymn. Amen. Kind of interesting, the writer Edwin Moat did not grow up in a godly home. In fact, his parents were pub operators in London, and he was left to roaming the streets. And he said even in his early teenage years, he didn't even know there was a God. But he heard the gospel message, and he was baptized at the age of 18. Then he went into the cabinet-making business for 37 years. In 1834, he was born in 1797, so that would have made him 37 years old. On his way to work, he seemed to have the idea I should write a hymn. And by the time he got to work, he had the chorus, and later on that day, he wrote the first four verses of that song, and then later he added two more verses. At the age of 55, he became a preacher, and he started to pastor this little Baptist church, and for 21 years, he never missed one Sunday. Isn't that dedication to a flock? 21 years. Age of 73, and then his health started to fail, and in 1977, when he was 77, he went to be with the Lord. But what a great hymn. He's not known like with Fanny Crosby and some of those great writers, but it's a great song, isn't it? And it really talks about what we're in this prayer today to the Thessalonians. And if you just picture a minute of this church, this little body of Christ in Thessaloniki, they had only been under Apostle Paul for 3 weekends. Now, I don't know how much more time than that, but, you know, let's say a month. They had been taught for a month. And the depth of their understanding, the depth of their commitment to the Lord is unbelievable, which is just all a statement of God's grace and God's mercy. And Lord, we know, as we've sat under great teaching here for years and years and years, and so as we look at this prayer, just I wanted to question myself and maybe you, where is your faith, hope, and love? Those are basically the three things that this letter is about. And so in the very beginning, as Paul makes his introduction, and he goes on into verse 2, we give thanks to God always for you all. That's amazing, isn't it? He's thanking the Lord for this little church, for all of them, thanking him always. That's something, isn't it? And then he adds, making mention of you in our prayers. Of course, we know the Apostle Paul had a tremendous prayer life, but it reminds me, you know, are we praying for one another in this little family? Are we praying for one another in a bigger family? This is a nice little place to start right here, you know. I don't mean that you haven't started, but it's a good thing to pray for one another. And to, as I was reading this morning, I was just kind of thinking who would be here this morning, just thanking the Lord for the faithfulness of coming, you know, and just such a great thing. And then he goes on into verse 3, remembering without ceasing. Remembering without ceasing. Now, I don't know how you can do that, but the Spirit says that's what he's doing, so that's what he's doing. Remembering without ceasing, without stopping, what? Three things, faith, love, and hope. But notice what he associates with each one of these key virtues of the Christian life, faith, love, and hope. With faith, he links it to work. With hope, he links it to patience. With love, he links it to labor. And as you think that through, it's really quite awesome, isn't it? Let's begin with faith. What is your faith? Well, faith is belief, right? Same word, faith, belief. But notice he links it, he is thankful and remembering their work of faith. What is work of faith? You have to work at faith? You have to work to believe? No, it's the other way around. Because you believe, you do want to do works for the Lord. And notice verse 8 here, you probably don't have your Bibles, but those of you who do, verse 8, he's telling them, now remember, this is a little church that's only had 1 month of instruction. And yet he says, for from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Is that a statement or what? And how many of our lives is the word sounding forth from? Maybe not to every place, but at least to maybe Costa Mesa, Newport, Santa Ana, or wherever. Has sounded forth to Macedonia, Achaia, but also in every place. And then listen to this. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. Now, how about the people that you're around? How about your neighbors? How about where you shop? How about where you get your car fixed or whatever else. Do they know of your faith? Is your faith shouting out enough that they know who you believe in? And do you love them enough to tell them about the Lord? So faith without works is dead, James says. And here the Apostle Paul is commending them and remembering them without ceasing and praying for them because of their work of faith. Then next is their labor of love. Do you associate love and labor together? Let me ask you this. How easy it is to love one another? How easy it is to love anybody? Now, it's pretty easy to love Jesus because we know what he's done for us, right? And I mean, we're so in debt. If we just love him with tiny, 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 tiny percentage of what he's done for us, that's quite a bit of love, right? But how about the people that are stabbing you in the back? How about the people that every time you see them, they just, you know, they just, you get spiritual checks up and down from top to bottom, and you can hardly believe every time they open their mouth is something filthy or something against the Lord comes out or whatever. Do you love them? Well, the Lord does. I can't say that I do, but I should love them. But I think love is a labor. In other words, love is a commitment, right? It's not a feel-good thing. Oh, I feel so good around this person, and that means I really love them. No, love really means to treat them with the kindness of Christ when they're giving you evil. Where to return what? Good for evil, not evil for evil. And certainly not as Satan would. He returns evil for good, right? That's clear the other way. So those in the world who are against Christ, that's their tendency to return evil for good. And then most of the world would probably be closer to returning good for good and evil for evil. But only through Christ can we have the wherewithal to return good for evil. And then lastly, hope. What is hope? Well, he's talking about patience. Talking about patience. Hope is the assurance of things unseen, isn't it? And when do you need hope? When do you need your faith? That's when everything you see in front of you is bleak, no way out, horrible. Lord, why are you putting me in this place? You must have made a big mistake. I shouldn't be here. I shouldn't be suffering like this. And then you get another report and it's worse. And then you really start to pray and you're really praying and it gets worse and it gets worse. We talked the other night on Wednesday night about 40 years of Moses in the wilderness. How long are you going to wait for the Lord to respond to your prayer? And that's when your faith grows, right? And no matter what, I remember our pastor, George Markey, in the Ukraine. At Kiev, which is within 50 miles of Chernobyl, where the nuclear reactor melted years ago. And cancer rate in Kiev is so high that since that accident, the word is not mentioned. Nobody would mention the word cancer. Doctors would not tell the patient or the families for a long time that a patient would have cancer. They wouldn't even mention it. Now, they'll mention it to them generally, but it's still a fearful, fearful word. And so here George, he pastors that church, founded that church, pastored that church for about 7 years or so, and he got cancer. And so he stood up in front of the fellowship and he said, I've got cancer. They couldn't believe it. Our pastor couldn't have cancer. I mean, God wouldn't let him get cancer. And he said, but I just want you to know, blessed be the name of the Lord if he heals me. Blessed be the name of the Lord if he doesn't heal me, but pray for me. And the church leaped forward in prayer and grew and congealed for the first time ever. And it was his faith under difficult situations that was such an encouragement to them. And that's for you and for me. And so when times are good for us, we go up to somebody who's in deep, deep trouble and they say, you ought to follow the Lord. And they look at you and they can't relate to that because you're like, you don't have any trouble, you ought to be in my shoes. But when things really get bad is oftentimes when we make the greatest witness, don't we? And so here, he's commending them for their patience of hope in what? That in a political power or in the world or whatever? No, no, no. In our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God our Father, linking, of course, Christ the Son to Christ the Father as one. And then knowing in verse 4, what? Beloved brethren, your election by God. None of these things could happen unless you were called by God. You couldn't have faith, you couldn't have hope, you couldn't have love unless it is given to us through His grace and through His mercy and by His Spirit. It's not something we can attain on ourselves. It's not something we can work up. When we try to do that, it's all, you know, self-righteousness with his filthy rags. So we see people, don't we? They try to act like they have love. They try to act like they have faith. They try to act like they have hope. But if it's not genuine from within through the Spirit, it's all phony and doesn't do anything for anybody. So, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. And so that's the prayer here. Making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. Well, Father, we thank you for this great prayer here, the very first epistle that Paul would write, we believe, and writing to this young church, Lord, and it's just such a proof that this is all from you. It couldn't be from man's teaching year by year, verse by verse necessarily. It was just from the Holy Spirit working through the lives of these people there in Thessaloniki. And so, Lord, as you work through our lives, as you have called us, otherwise we wouldn't be here, we just thank you and we just praise you. And so this morning, we want to come to you in prayer. We want to have prayer for thanksgiving, Lord. Not thankful necessarily for man, although there's some things from men we can be thankful for, but really you, it is you. You are the guest of honor here again today, and may our prayers be to you, Lord. And help us even in a group prayer not to try to impress anybody here. This isn't what it's about. It's about praying to you with heartfelt joy and receiving from you and being filled by your Spirit and then being led by your Spirit to pray for the bodies of Christ around the world, for unity, for this body of Christ right here, for pastors, teachers, for missionaries, Lord, for our government, for all the leaders and kings and those in authority in the world, Lord. And Lord, whatever you would have for us to pray as a group, and then a little later, Lord, as we break into individual groups of a couple of people, we can get into the personal prayers and ask for things maybe more sensitive or more personal, but Lord, we want to be praying as led by your Spirit now. So lead us in this time of prayer. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.